Welcome back, guys. DGS. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Coming up at 4:30, we have a really cool interview that Wheels did with a former NFL player about suing the NCAA for past transgressions. So really looking forward to listening to that. Right now, we have our buddy Tom Ackerman on. What's up, Aki?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. So I want to start with a stupid Dave question. I feel like I really annoy you guys. I feel like I'm that guy in the locker room where you're like, if he asks the stupid question one more time. But this one, we've talked about things like this before, but I got this one from TikTok where they were asking actual major league players. And when I get your answer, I'll tell you, because they all answered the same way. They were asking a bunch of major league players, could Babe Ruth hit Paul Skeens? And not Babe Ruth, who's magically born in 1990, but he's Babe Ruth. We're talking Babe Ruth from his prime back in the 20s, 30s, whatever that is. Time machine Babe Ruth. You put him in the batter's box with his 50-ounce bat. Could he hit a Paul Skeens fastball?
Well, I think you'd have to give Babe Ruth some time to time it up. Like, if you just transported Babe Ruth into the batter's box and you'd never seen him before, I mean, I don't know that anybody's going to hit him if you've never seen him or you can't time it. But if Babe Ruth, even if he's just on a steady diet of hot dogs and beer, if he spends enough time around Paul Skeens and, you know, can run into one, maybe. But they're two totally different eras. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who did something at the time that nobody else could do. He was an absolute superpower in a time when nobody else was doing. He was hitting more home runs than entire teams. So it'd be hard for me to say that he couldn't. I'm just saying, if you just suddenly transported him and he had never seen it before, I mean, Wheels would agree with me that if you put Wheels or I or anybody else, a major league pitcher, even, you know, a great athlete like that in the box against somebody throwing 100, you will not hit it. Not only will you not hit it, you won't see it. I mean, your eyes have to be trained to something like that. Anyway, that would be my answer.
Yeah, good answer.
Yeah, so if we're talking about time machine Babe Ruth, I would say that, you know, let's play it out. Let's give him a few days to acclimate, maybe take some batting practice, you know, because we'll give him the edge of looking at some video. He could not hit it with a 50-ounce bat. There's just no way. You're not getting that. I mean, just to consider how big that is. The average bat weight for, like, you know, a big player who's swinging a 34, 35-inch bat, you're not swinging more than a 32-ounce bat, maybe 33, maybe 34. Those would be huge bats in modern standings. There's no way you're swinging a 50-ounce bat in a game environment. Now, you say BP and you get 100 pitches. Could he figure out the timing of it? Sure, because he's a great all-time. He's an all-time great. You could figure that out. So I guess it depends on the context of how we're putting him in there, but you'd have to ditch that bat and grab a Marucci that's more of a 34, 32.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, like, the entire conversation is fascinating. Like, Babe Ruth with today's technology and the ability to watch video and all that stuff, you know, I mean, what if Babe Ruth everything? But Babe Ruth just randomly walking into the ballpark and for the first time ever seeing pitchers today. I mean, that, you know, that's asking a whole lot, but Babe Ruth, with the benefit of what everybody is able to do today with the technology, with the equipment, et cetera, would be pretty interesting, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always been the belief that any great player in any generation would be great in another generation, because what sets them apart isn't something, it's not magic, right? It's their dedication to the work. They all have talent. Babe Ruth had talent. If he came up now, he would be what Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and those guys are. And if those guys played back then, they would be what Babe Ruth was.
Yeah, like the game today, even the game that you and I grew up on, Kevin, where I think before I saw Albert Pujols, the greatest hitter that I had ever seen and experienced was Tony Gwynn. And then there were some others too, but Tony Gwynn in today's game would not be as celebrated as Aaron Judge, because the game has changed where home runs have been celebrated. Home runs are what cashes in the big check. Home runs are what people come to see, not a guy hitting 340. You know, if you want that, you go get Luis Arraez for the Padres. You know, the guy doesn't strike out and he makes contact every time. So a different kind of game as well. Babe Ruth was so different. He was unique. He was in an era where making contact and hitting it into the outfield was successful. This guy was hitting bombs out of the ballpark and doing things that nobody else was doing. But the game itself has actually changed, even over the last 20, 30 years.
Let's keep being weird. If you could get in the time machine and go back and watch an era of a sport, would it be the Babe Ruth baseball? Would it be something different?
Man. Wow, that's a great one. I think just knowing what I know today and being a Cardinals fan and growing up in St. Louis, I would have loved to have experienced, and some people in our listening audience have, the Stan Musial or even Bob Gibson era of Cardinal baseball, just to feel it and experience it. I was born in 1975, so I did not have an opportunity, obviously, to experience those things. And I think just as an historian of the game and specifically this franchise that I love and revere, I would keep it local, and I would like to know what that felt like to go down to Sportsman's Park and, you know, with a little change in my pocket and be able to go get a hot dog and a Coke, and we'll go watch those teams win championships. I think that'd be amazing.
Man, so we're just talking baseball, right?
No, it could be any sport.
Oh, okay.
No, any sport.
Oh, okay. I think it's my answer is probably the same either way, and this is not an attempt at some kind of politically correct answer. It's because we haven't seen it. I would want to go see prime age Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, Cool Papa Bell, the Negro League players that we never saw. Because I would love to see how they look, because I know what major league players look like now, and I know what Babe Ruth looked like, and I know what Mickey Mantle looked like. I don't know what those players look like in reference to that, and I would love to see that and be able to kind of like reconcile in my head, but yeah, Josh Gibson was Babe Ruth, and man, Satchel Paige was Nolan Ryan before Nolan Ryan was Nolan Ryan. Like, I would love to be able to contextualize that.
I think that's a natural feeling. You know, I was thinking about, you know, we're about to celebrate the 25th anniversary of The Greatest Show on Turf, which kind of blows my mind. This team that won the Super Bowl that was doing things that no other NFL team was doing, that I have friends who are in their 30s who don't remember that.
Right.
Like that, yeah. That is amazing to me. That blows my mind. And on a more serious and tragic scale, you know, you think about today, and today's a solemn day. For me, I wake up in the morning and I think about 9/11, and then as the day goes on, I think about incredible human beings and everything that happened that day, that there are people who that I'm friends with who don't remember it.
Right.
So, you know, all of those kinds of thoughts, I love this exercise in many ways, because you do think about that. I mean, I grew up on the Cardinals in the 80s, and the speed of Ozzie Smith, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, and Whitey Ball, and that incredible feeling, and the noise at Busch Stadium, and that stadium itself. Like, there are people who, and I still sometimes have to process that did not get to experience even that stadium that I know well. Like, that's interesting to me. So anyway, I do think about all that. That, you know, that eras go by, and you feel it. Like, I can still feel what that was like, yet there are people who root for the Cardinals who don't. And so that's why I feel that way. Like, I want to have seen Lou Brock and Bob Gibson play, and even Stan Musial. You know, I do talk to people who got to see him play, and that I'll never forget. Speaking of Babe Ruth, I'll never forget this conversation I had with Bob Bragg early on in my KMOX career. And he said, we were talking about Mark McGwire. And he said, never in my life have I experienced anything like this. I've never seen anything like this except for Babe Ruth when he played. And I looked at him, I said, wow. I'm like, you saw Babe Ruth? Wow. That's unbelievable.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, like Matt Pajeski, who we all love, who's a fully formed human.
Grown man.
Grown man, producer of a show on KMOX, was 2 on 9/11.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and so before I got to talk to you all, I was sitting here just, you know, going down the rabbit hole of watching tributes and videos on that day. And I just, you know, I, like I said, I start the day on the air, and it's hard sometimes for me to even talk about it because I remember the day so well. And I was trying to track down friends who were working in New York City, and then as the day goes along, I start to realize the incredible sacrifices that people made for each other. I remember how unified we were as a country and how we were all on the same level that day trying to figure things out, and how real that felt. The fact that that was 23 years ago is, wow. I mean, time really does go by.
Were you on quickly. The air that day, Tom?
At home that morning, and as I was watching it on TV, like many of us, and I immediately called the newsroom, and I said, instead of saying, what can I do? Because it was just chaotic, obviously, in the newsroom. Everybody was trying to figure out how to cover this. As I said, I'm on my way to Bellerive, and the World Golf Championship was happening here, and this was on a Tuesday, and they were having practice rounds, and I went out there to see what they were going to do, because nobody knew what the sports world or anything for that matter, what the next day was going to look like. And we had all these great players from around the world playing at Bellerive, and one of them was Tiger Woods. He was out on the golf course.
Wow.
And I remember standing by the driving range and just, you know, right place, right time, where Malcolm Briggs, who was at Channel 5, and I were standing there, and a publicist came up to us and said, a Tiger is coming off the course right now. Would you like to talk to him? And we said, yes, we would. So we walked over, and the three of us stood there and talked about what was happening, what was unfolding, me, Malcolm Briggs, and Tiger Woods. And each of us did an interview, and I sent it to Camo X, and I was talking to officials there, and it was just... To be standing in the media room at Bellerive Country Club, and we're watching monitors of the horrific events unfolding in New York, I felt guilty that I was at a golf course on a beautiful day. I felt helpless. There were a lot of things just that come back to me today.
Yeah, amen. Let's spend the last couple minutes on the Cardinals. How did JC do last night? I didn't get to watch the game.
He went 0-for-4, and he actually, you know, was one of those who couldn't come through and with the bases loaded in the ninth inning yesterday. But, you know, to make your major league debut, to walk into Busch Stadium and see it for the first time, it had to have been incredible. And I actually talked to Ollie Marmol this morning, and I said, you know, here we go again. Your team couldn't come through against the Reds. And he said, I agree. They've had our number, and we also have had an inconsistent offense. But he flipped it around and said something interesting. He said, I want Thomas Tejasi and Jordan Walker to experience that. I want them to have those opportunities in the ninth inning with the bases loaded to come through, because they will eventually do that. And so, you know, I think the Cardinals, while this season is coming to an end, are realizing that they are creating opportunities for some young players like Tejasi, who I think is going to be a good one, Kevin. I think you would agree. He's a good hitter, contact guy. He looks like the makeup of a good ball player.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because he's produced at the highest levels of the minor leagues. He's produced power, hit for average last year, not so much this year, but it was because of a slow start. The big question with him, and this is kind of the big question for the Cardinals with a bunch of guys, is where does he play, right? I mean, he's probably best physically suited for second base, but you've got Nolan Gorman, and you've got Brendan Donovan, and you've got eventually J.J. Weatherholt that are going to be in that mix. You've got the possibility of moving him to the corner outfield, but you've also got Lars Nootbaar and Jordan Walker as you look forward there, not to mention Alec Burleson, and, you know, I mean, like... It's just an interesting puzzle that they have to figure out, and he's a part of it. I think he can hit, and if he can stay off the breaking balls down in the zone and off the plate, because that was his weakness in the minor leagues, he'll be a good hitter. But then where does everybody play? Because Wynn's the shortstop, and we know Nolan's the third baseman, and we got to sort out pretty much first, second, left, right, and DH.
Yeah, you've got to figure out Nolan Gorman. That's disappointing after yep. He had such a promising start. You got to figure him out. But it's nice to have super utility players, that's for sure. Now yep. That Tommy Edman is gone, you got to have one. And that one is probably Brendan Donovan.
Right.
You've already filled that role. So, yeah, so JC will develop into, I think, something special. But I agree with you. It's a matter of where does the opportunity exist for him. I could never say what's going to happen moving forward, though. You just never know. Injuries, trades,
yep.
Change of heart. What, you know, where does the slumps, things hey, happen?
As nice to have as players as, in reserve. Sorry to interrupt you, but as yep. Mo said to you, there are changes coming.
There are changes coming. He of course, was referring to the topic at hand, which is player development and Gary Larocque, but there are, he said, changes
right.
coming in the leadership. So, yes, there's no doubt that a lot of things are about to happen with this team. I found that conversation, he was very open, and he also said in so many words that he's not going anywhere. So he's going to ride out his contract, and then – you know, you have changes coming. And when I asked him if he was looking outside the organization for those changes, he said that's already done. He said that we have done that. So now interviews will take place. He said it will be a very interesting next few months.
Very good. Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Kev, we have exactly 1 minute preview what your interview coming up is about.
All right. So I'll be interviewing a former NFL player named Mike Martin, third round draft pick out of Michigan. And I think he was drafted in 2012. Okay. So he and three other former Michigan teammates, college teammates, are suing the NCAA and the Big Ten for restricting them from earning name, image, and licensing fees back then, but also using their name and image and likeness in marketing for games and events moving forward. So between then and now as well. So that suit dropped this week. It's kind of catching hold. It's on ESPN.com. It's been making news all across the country. And I've known Mike for a long time. He went to the same high school I did. We've got common friends. My buddy's his lawyer in this case. So I had a chance to catch up with Mike.
Nice. That's next.
All right, we're back in on TGS here on KMOX. Doing a little sports here and doing a little sports on the legal side. And we've talked a lot on the show over the last few years about the changes when it comes to college sports and name, image, and likeness. There have been a lot of lawsuits, some settlements involved that now allow players to pursue marketing deals, essentially, because they build a name, they build a reputation, and they're able to now make money off of that. But that hasn't always been the case. And there's a new lawsuit that dropped this week that involves some people that I know. The lawyer behind it is a guy named Jim Macho, is a guy I've known. We went to high school together. But it also involves four players that played for the University of Michigan who are suing the Big Ten and the NCAA, essentially because their rights were restricted. And joining me to talk a bit about that is Mike Martin. Now, Mike, you'll remember him if you follow the NFL, played for the Tennessee Titans between 2012 and 2015. He was a third-round draft pick out of the University of Michigan. And maybe more importantly than that, for the two of us, we both went to the same high school, Detroit Catholic Central High School in Novi, Michigan. Now we're separated by a lot, so we didn't know each other then, but we've got to know each other a little bit in the interim. Mike, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. Let's just start and keep this simple. Lay this out. What are you and some of your former teammates trying to get to here? What is the simplest way to describe how you see this lawsuit?
This case is not complicated. This is not just about me. It's about my former teammates as well, and the fact that we were living in this restrictive environment that the NCAA orchestrated for so long. And, you know, the most valuable thing anyone has is their name and their image, right?
Yep.
And their reputation. But in this case, it's name and image. They blatantly kept that from us and didn't allow us to capitalize on something that we're given when we're born. And now, I was asked, why now? Why are you going after this now? Well, the environment now is sort of allowing it. You know, you see that the $2.7 or $8 billion settlement for people up to 2016. And I'm thinking in my head, well, should everyone pre-2016 just keep it moving? I don't think so. And my former teammates don't either.
No, you know, I've never been good with it either because, you know, first of all, there's never been a good logical argument in favor of it. But now there's legal precedent, too, right? Now we have settlements. We have lawsuits that have been won. So, you know, in terms of legal ground, you guys are in a really great place because we've established already that this was wrong and it's not acceptable. And I should point out to everybody listening, you know, during your playing career, this was during the time when, for example, NCAA football was being put out every year by EA Sports, and the Big Ten and the NCAA are getting licensing fees from them to put you guys in the game. So you guys are in there using your name, using your image, using everything, your performance grades, and making money off of it. You guys were forbidden from doing any of that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a story. When I was at Michigan, on campus, I made these T-shirts. I took a couple $1,000s of my hard-earned money because I was, you know, bartending there. on campus at this place called Connor O'Neill's. Shout out Connor O'Neill's. But I made t-shirts, put my face on them, had no license, and had no Michigan branding, no nothing but my face. And I had friends of mine selling them during the games. And I had little sayings on them like Mike Martin smash and all this kind of
nice.
Stuff. And yeah, it was clever, right? And the compliance department shot me down. They sent me a letter. They, all of it, you know, cease and desist. You're not allowed to do this. And I requested a meeting and I said, hey, why can't I do this? There's nothing that has Michigan on it. There's no winged helmet. There's nothing even about football on it. And
right.
Well, it's your name. You have your name and your face on it. That's why you can't do it. And that really sunk in. I'm like, wait, what? My own face. I can't do anything with my own face. Nope, you can't.
It's one of the most remarkable things. And I guess it, you know, Mike, it took a while for people to be able to put the challenge out there. Because I go back, I mean, I'm obviously a bit older than you. You, in fact, if I remember correctly, you were born the same year I graduated from Catholic Central High School. We both went to the same high school, for those for everybody listening. So I'm a little bit older than you, but I go back even to then, because I was in college when you were just a little guy and watching superstars all over the campus at the University of Miami. These guys couldn't take a dime from anyone. We're not even allowed to take a ride across campus from a coach if you're in the middle of a pouring rainstorm, because that would be considered an impermissible benefit, and you obviously couldn't do anything, like you said, on your own. It hasn't made sense for a long time, and I'm glad it's finally coming around. I'm just surprised it never got challenged 30 years ago.
Well, I think that speaks to the nature of the environment, that it was so unchallenged, and they were able to operate in, like I said, this status quo environment where they were able to do what they did for so long. But now things have changed, and you know, to your point, like Denard Robinson, my good friend, he has got a story about, you know, he's walking on campus and he sees someone selling these shoelace t-shirts. This is like a few days before one of our big games, I think Notre Dame or something like that, the big under the lights game, and he said, hey, can I get one of those, man? And he's like, no, man, I'll let you buy one though. And he was like, he started laughing. He's like, wow, like, and we're all struggling for money. I was on food stamps when I was at the University of Michigan. I had a bridge card. My mom is a single mom, you know, a nurse trying to make it happen, you know, struggled to get me to put me through CC, figured it out.
Yeah.
But in the summertime, you got half the credit, so you have half the scholarship check. And in Ann Arbor, $1,500 at the time goes quick for a month. And yeah, I was on food stamps, and we can't even like figure out a way to be entrepreneurial and make money on our name and our image. And it's really frustrating. But yeah, this isn't about me or Denard. It's about all of our guys and us looking out for our teammates.
And I should point out to our listeners, and Mike Martin is with us, former Tennessee Titan, University of Michigan Wolverine, and for the two of us, Catholic Central Shamrock, is part of a lawsuit that involves, as you mentioned, Denard Robinson, Braylon Edwards, Sean Crable, all guys that played at the University of Michigan. Obviously, Braylon had an NFL career. You did as well. Denard did. And that's not really the point, right? I mean, the point is that, and this has now been established for current players and even recent players who are a part of a settlement that is still, I don't think, finalized yet, because the judge keeps digging in and figuring out there's some things here that maybe need a little bit more attention. But you guys are making what I think is a very logical claim, which is the Big Ten and the NCAA, both of these entities made a lot of money off of the name, image, and likeness, and not to mention at the time, Mike, but even in playing highlight reels and using your guys' images to sell games down the road, right? Even after you're gone, you're a part of a highlight reel that's like Michigan, Ohio State this weekend on Big Ten or whatever. Like, you're a part of all of those marketing things too, and none of that does anything to benefit you guys, and you did the work.
Yeah, Denard, he's been on the NCAA's website forever, ever since we left school, and they just recently changed this section that he's on, where it's like pictures of him and Coach Hoke and, you know, all of us on there talking about the records and everything he's done. But you used to be able to click on it and it would go to all these videos, but they recently changed it because of all these different things happening, because they knew it was wrong. They know what's wrong.
They do. And so, and I think Mike, when I get a chance, I know a lot of football fans at first don't like any of this. They don't like the change. I know coaches don't like it because they don't like the power shifting towards the players. But yep. That's a completely different conversation. But the way I try to convince people, and I wonder if you agree with me, is very simply, if you were in that position, would you think it was okay? Would it be okay for all of the NCAA member institutions to impose those same rules on musicians, on kids that are studying music on campus, on kids that are maybe stage performers? They're there to go to acting school and they get a gig on the side, but they can't anymore because they're on scholarship to go to college for that. And I think when people think of it that way, it becomes a little more simple.
Yeah, or even, you know, think about business students that are about to be entrepreneurs. Go build a business. Go figure something out. They're encouraging that. But for us, no, you can't do it. So I'll add to your point about how coaches feel. So I was with Urban Meyer and Mark Ingram actually on Friday before this last weekend. And
I wasn't going to bring the game up, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, it's, hey. That's the nature of the game, you know. You gotta clean it up for next year. You gotta figure it out.
But, hey, you guys won the title last year. Everything stings a little less this year.
I know, right? Yeah. So I'm in this class. We did a segment for Big Noon Kickoff, and one of the students asked Urban, "Hey, what do you think about NIL and all of it?" And the first thing he came out of his mouth, he said, "We live in the United States. Any person that has the ability to capitalize off their name has the right to do that." And that, like, I knew that, I feel that way, but like hearing him say that, and this is a guy who he doesn't like the nature of, like you're saying, guys just, you know, the pay for play, guys hopping in the portal and getting a chance and going to another school. He doesn't like that part of it, but he 100% agrees. If you have the ability to go and go to a dealership or a furniture store or go do a radio bit and make a couple bucks and help out a business, That's what America's all about.
Man, I'm glad to hear that Urban said that, because a lot of coaches haven't gone there, but from a rational, logical perspective, just being a citizen of the United States of America, we are supposed to be a free market economy, right? But we don't want free market when it comes to sports. We want salary caps. We want college players limited because, and I'm being generic on the we, like sports fans, just they want what's good for them. And what's good for them are players that stay at their favorite school for 4 years, that don't transfer, that don't do all these things. And they're afraid that the money leads to that loss of control and the change of the status quo. But that status quo needs to change. We are not built that way as a nation. We are supposed to be what you described and what Urban described, which is a free market. If you have a work product that people care about, you should be able to benefit from that.
Exactly. And that's why this case isn't complicated. And that's why I felt the need to do this, because, it takes a leap. It takes a leap to put yourself out there. I've never been a part of a case of like this or any sort of case. And so it's a bit of a leap and a little bit of a fear factor there. But then you have conversations with guys, and you know, I've talked to dozens and dozens of guys, and it's like, I have to do this because no one else is going to do it.
Yeah, and it could open the door for other people. I know you got a great guy representing you. Obviously, Jim Acho is a phenomenal lawyer. Jim and I are close to the same age. He's a little older than me. I've known Jimmy going back to when we were both in high school in the late 80s, and he's phenomenal. He's worked with so many retired athletes, football and baseball players, to help get medical coverage and things along those guys. So you got the right guy that's going to be making the argument for you. And you guys have the right case, man. You have the right argument. Logic is on your side. And ideally, this will go the correct way. In a perfect world, by the way, if I'm the Big Ten and if I'm the NCAA, I'm just going to find a way to settle as soon as I can, because the precedent right now is pretty simple.
Yeah, and like to your point, Jim, he's really got this thing buttoned up well. His team's amazing. He's got a track record, and we're following his lead. So, he did a ton for NFL Hall of Fame guys like Gale Sayers and Pat Summerall and Lem Barney back in the day with the concussion class action. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing that was massive. That was also a thing, though, status quo. You know, guys are, get a concussion, have a headache, no big deal, just jump back in there. Well, now we know that's all wrong too. So
Yeah, no question. Well, I appreciate you doing this, Mike, and I want to keep up on this. So when there's news, maybe I'll check back in with you if you're cool with that. And in the meantime, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I know you're a very successful guy, and I know you're still in the Detroit area. I'm going to be up there next week, so maybe I'll find a way to come say hello to thank you for jumping on the radio with us here. But we appreciate it, and I'm rooting for you, man. I hope all four of you guys get what you got coming to you.
I appreciate it, brother. Talk to you soon, okay?
Braylon had an NFL career. You did as well. Denard did. That's not really the point, right? I mean, the point is that, and this has now been established for current players and even recent players who are a part of a settlement that is still, I don't think, finalized yet, because the judge keeps digging in and figuring out there's some things here that maybe need a little bit more attention. But you guys are making what I think is a very logical claim, which is the Big Ten and the NCAA, both of these entities made a lot of money off of the name, image, and likeness. And not to mention, at the time, Mike, but even in playing highlight reels and using your guys' images to sell games down the road, right? Even after you're gone, you're a part of a highlight reel that's like Michigan, Ohio State this weekend on Big Ten or whatever. Like, you're a part of all of those marketing things too, and none of that does anything to benefit you guys, and you did the work.
Yeah, Denard, he's been on the NCAA's website forever, ever since he left school, and they just recently changed the section that he's on, where it's like pictures of him and Coach Hoke and, you know, all of us on there talking about the records and everything he's done. But you used to be able to click on it and it would go to all these videos, but they recently changed it because of all these different things happening, because they knew it was wrong. They know it's wrong.
They do, and I think Mike, when I get a chance, I know a lot of football fans at first don't like any of this. They don't like the change. I know coaches don't like it because they don't like the power shifting towards the players. But yep, that's a completely different conversation. But the way I try to convince people, and I wonder if you agree with me, is very simply, if you were in that position, would you think it was okay? Would it be okay for all of the NCAA member institutions to impose those same rules on musicians, on kids that are studying music on campus, on kids that are maybe stage performers? They're there to go to acting school and they get a gig on the side, but they can't anymore because they're on scholarship to go to college for that. And I think when people think of it that way, it becomes a little more simple.
Yeah, or even, you know, think about business students that are supposed to be on tours. Go build a business. Go figure something out. They're encouraging that. But for us, no, you can't do it. So I'll add to your point about how coaches feel. So I was with Urban Meyer and Mark Ingram actually on Friday before this last weekend. And
I wasn't going to bring the game up, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, it's hey, that's the nature of the game. You know, you got to clean it up for next week. Got to figure it out.
Hey, but you guys won the title last year. Everything stings a little less this year.
I know, right? Yeah. So I'm in this class. We did a segment for Big Noon Kickoff, and one of the students asked Urban, hey, what do you think about NIL and all of it? And the first thing he came out of his mouth, he said, we live in the United States. Any person that has the ability to capitalize off their name has the right to do that. And that, like, I knew that. I feel that way. But, like, hearing him say that, and this is a guy who he doesn't like the nature of, like you're saying, guys just, you know, the pay-for-play, guys hopping in the portal and getting a chance and going to another school. He doesn't like that part of it. But he 100% agrees. If you have the ability to go and go to a dealership or a furniture store or go do a radio bit and make a couple bucks and help out a business, That's what America's all about.
Man, I'm glad to hear that Urban said that, because a lot of coaches haven't gone there, but from a rational, logical perspective, just being a citizen of the United States of America, we are supposed to be a free market economy, right? But we don't want free market when it comes to sports. We want salary caps. We want college players limited, because, and I'm being generic on the we, like, sports fans, just they want what's good for them. And what's good for them are players that stay at their favorite school for 4 years, that don't transfer, that don't do all these things. And they're afraid that the money leads to that loss of control and the change of the status quo. But that status quo needs to change. We are not built that way as a nation. We are supposed to be what you described and what Urban described, which is a free market. If you have a work product that people care about, you should be able to benefit from that.
Exactly. And that's why this case isn't complicated. And that's why I felt the need to do this because, yeah, it takes a leap. It takes a leap to put yourself out there. I've never been a part of a case of like this or any sort of case. And so it's a bit of a leap and a little bit of a fear factor there. But
yeah,
then you have conversations with guys and, you know, I've talked to dozens and dozens of guys and it's like, I have to do this because no one else is going to do it.
Yeah, and it could open the door for other people. I know you got a great guy representing you. Obviously, Jim Acho is a phenomenal lawyer. Jim and I are close to the same age. He's a little older than me. I've known Jimmy going back to when we were both in high school in the late 80s, and he's phenomenal. He's worked with so many retired athletes, football and baseball players, to help get medical coverage and things along those guys. So you got the right guy that's going to be making the argument for you. And you guys have the right case, man. You have the right argument. Logic is on your side. And ideally, this will go the correct way. In a perfect world, by the way, if I'm the Big Ten and if I'm the NCAA, I'm just going to find a way to settle as soon as I can. Because the precedent right now is pretty simple.
Yeah. And like to your point, Jim, he's really got this thing buttoned up well. His team's amazing. He's got a track record. And we're following his lead. So, he did a ton for NFL Hall of Fame guys like Gale Sayers and Pat Summerall and Lem Barney back in the day with the concussion class action. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing that was massive. That was also a thing, though, status quo. You know, guys are, get a concussion, have a headache. No big deal. Just jump back in there. Well, now we know that's all wrong, too. So.
Yeah, no question. Well, I appreciate you doing this, Mike, and I want to keep up on this. So when there's news, maybe I'll check back in with you if you're cool with that. And in the meantime, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I know you're a very successful guy, and I know you're still in the Detroit area. I'm going to be up there next week, so maybe I'll find a way to come say hello to thank you for jumping on the radio with us here. But we appreciate it, and I'm rooting for you, man. I hope all four of you guys get what you got coming to you.
I appreciate it, brother. Talk to you soon, okay?